So one, from now on. It's just a new habit. Just what? A new habit. Now, what I'm going to bring out here, all right? That's how life is. I'm going to connect something. So whatever you are doing in life is actually forming your destiny. And God, even though he has a destiny plan for you, if you have a habit that is not in conformity with the destiny he has planned, that habit has to go. Let me just give a practical example. If Sarah and Abraham were not hospitable people, Isaac ain't coming anywhere. Did you hear what I said? If Abraham and Isaac were not hospitable people, Isaac wasn't coming anywhere. Say, but God promised. Listen. There's an article I've been trying to write for some time. I don't know what's been keeping my I should write it, but let me just share it briefly. Anytime God gives you a vision, anytime God gives you a promise, a lot of times what he's saying to you that this is where you are going, prepare to go there. I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is, what do I mean by prepare to go there? Dress up, learn the way. That's what he said. What I mean is that Paul said it like this, very simple. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the latter part into chapter 7, verse 1. It says, seeing that we have these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. That is, these promises will come to pass when we will have perfected holiness in the fear of the Lord. Seeing that we have what? These promises. Let us cleanse ourselves, purify ourselves. How do we purify ourselves? That's what I'm talking about. Let us purify ourselves of all defilement of flesh and spirit. That is, before we can get to certain places, God is good. And that's why, look, that's the difference. One of the things I taught in that program. That's the difference between Satan and God. God gives you a promise, and I start taking you through the path. It's called the gates of God. Go and read Psalm 118 and Matthew chapter 7. There's the gates of God, called the narrow gate in Matthew chapter 7 by the word of Jesus Christ. But by Psalm 118, David calls the gates of the Lord or the gates of righteousness. God starts walking you through life so as to go through that narrow gate, all right, narrow path, through those gates of righteousness. It takes time. So it takes him time to build Abraham to receive Isaac. You could have done this first day. Abraham, thou shalt have a son. And Abraham just turned like this. Boom! Sarah's stomach will just be grown as she's looking. You'll be looking. Sarah's stomach will be going. Boom! And then she'll just deliver. Boom! 2 weeks after. I know what have happened. 2 years later, Isaac will have died and would not have woken up. If Sarah, like, let her deliver 10,000 Isaacs, they will have all died. If they came before 25 years. Why? Because until that 25 years, those 25 years were complete. They did not have the strength to receive an Isaac that will stay. So what God does is to start taking them, you know, through. Teaching them things. I've talked about it before. So this is how it goes. So God gives a promise. He says, better start learning the ways. Now, when I say the way, like, let me give an example now. God gives a promise, let's give as a practical example, of abundant prosperity. So now it means go to business school. No, that's not what I mean by the ways. They are spiritual lessons. In Abraham's case, the man had to be hospitable. He had to be generous. How do I know? Because the day he received strangers, not knowing they were angels, that was the day the word came. By this time next year, your wife will have a child. That is, if he was doing like this, say, nothing concerns me, I don't want police trouble. And those men passed. They will go ahead, smoke Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham will look and say, oh, what a pity. What a calamity. But he'll be there waiting. He's not going to die. Sarah is not going to die. But they will wait until God wants to go and destroy another place. They will plant Abraham on the way again. Then the angels will come again at night. Waiting that all the lessons we have taught you on being hospitable, what are you doing with it? What am I going to explain? That's what prayer does. When I'm talking about prayer and habits. If you have a, listen, don't brag on a bad thing. If not bad thing, if it's a bad thing, pray yourself out of it. Did you hear what I said? Listen, you know, that's the way I am. There's nobody that is the way it is if it's a bad thing. You know my mouth don't close. Once I hear something, I must tell everybody. He says, it's true. The man is very liberal. He just has an open spirit. He does not hide anything inside himself. He cannot keep a secret. I'll be bragging about it. I know it's natural to him, but it's a bad habit. What do I call it? And listen, habits are like medicine, drug, the thing they push. It pushes people. And that's what I'm talking about prayer. You can use prayer to break it. Every fine thing that comes, I have to buy one. It's a bad habit. If you can't look at something and just say, this is very nice, but it's not my own. It's a bad habit. Not sleeping on time is a bad habit. Some habits are not in keeping with long life and prosperity. Some habits are not in keeping. Going to bed late and waking up very early, they are bad habits. What did I call them? They're not, he's a diligent man. No, he's working against the word of God. You know, the world can help you glamorize bad things. Like I was saying the other day, Kim Kardashian got pregnant out of wedlock, and all of us must read about it. When people were saying she would have hidden in the corner until she delivers and her stomach goes back to normal, and we must not know. But she's pregnant out of adultery and fornication, and the whole world is... They even came to advertise the stomach in Nigeria. I almost swear for this day, that time. You should know, no, they know, really, just by the way. You know, I have placed a curse in Jesus' name on Big Brother Africa. May the program crumble. May they lose money. May DSTV regret the day they beamed it over Nigeria. In the name of Jesus Christ. Why? We shouldn't let our young people think some things are normal. Honestly, as a preacher, if Kim Kardashian had come to me and they were filming us, I'd say, oh girl, you're fornicating, man, you're pregnant. Sound like a joke, but I'll make it clear, you're married to this guy. No, it doesn't concern me about him or her. You understand my point? What matters to me is the young people who are watching. So that they will know that this is not the life. I'm going to explain something. We must be careful. Because the world tries to make glamour, are you getting my point? Out of a bad habit. Some of them look good. The man doesn't sleep. He's always walking. It's evil. It's iniquity. How do I know? The scriptures say it is vain to rise up early and to go to bed late. That's what the Bible says. So no matter how nice it looks, it's a bad habit. There are students who read and read and read. They're always reading. They won't sleep. You see them, their eyes are red. They drink coffee, take aspirin. Not seen it before. Sorry, I withdraw another spirit. Fensic. I don't know, it's not common anymore. Those when I was in school, they used to use Fensic to keep awake. Fensic was a combination of aspirin and caffeine. Like now you have Panadol Extra. Panadol Extra is a combination of paracetamol and caffeine. When I was in school, one of my neighbors, a law student, we used to call him Paulo. The boy would drink coffee and pop 2 tablets of Fensic. If you have a student that studies that hard, tell him it's a bad habit. What did I call it? What did I call it? A bad habit. By strength shall no man prevail. Whatever be the bad habit you have, is going to shortchange you. That's what I'm trying to make. All right? Concerning the divine destiny that God planned for you. You will never get to the place God ordained for you to get to if you maintain that habit. And I dare to say to you, the degree of realization of your divine destiny is the extent, it's tied to the extent to which you shave yourself off of all these fleshly things. But what is my message? It's not by your own strength. It's not by your own strength. It is by identifying those things one by one and praying about them. Please go and get that message. I said, praying yourself out of a bad character. I found that one of the major reasons people don't change is when they have excuses that make sense for what they are doing. No, I know it's not good, but you know the kind of place you are living in, you have to be tough, and you are talking about a bad habit. The one that used to give us an example, as a lady I knew, once anytime you tell her something, she will remind her, you know, and that's what Oyinbo men have done, that is, you study psychiatry abroad, if I sociology there, everything is about abuse. I was abused as a child. That's how I'm shooting people now. You don't see what goes on. Everything is abuse. Nobody bears responsibilities for anything anymore. That's why I wrote the book, Choices, Key to Destiny. That your past may have affected your life, and that is true. It does. Where you are coming from affects you. But, up to a point, a day comes in which God says, now, it's you and me. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. That woman caught in the act of adultery. Jesus was saying, in effect, she was an adulteress because of her society. And many young boys and girls today, that's what they are, because of the society. But that excuse is just for a while. A day comes, God says, now, they wanted to stone you now. I didn't let them stone you. So, after now, what's going to happen? Go and sin no more. You know what it means? Next time they catch you, you have met me, I have given you a spirit, because if you said amen, the ability to sin will disappear. Any sin after that will be a conscious and deliberate effort of disobedience. If they catch you after that and they stone you, you're on your own. Now, we have excuses. We can go around and be making excuses. And which is what you see. You see them in those so-called wise countries, not knowing they are foolish. Everything is an excuse. You know, what happened? This girl shot somebody. How old is she? She's 32, a young woman. Why did she shoot him? Because when she was 9, her uncle raped her. Okay? At 14, she was gang raped in school. At 32, she's shooting people. And it's an accepted excuse. You know the problem with such things? Afterwards, other people will now come up. I say, what happened? Prisca was freed because she was abused as a young girl. Me too, I have been abused. So right now, my head must not correct again. So the girl buys a jackknife and goes around. The first guy that says, hey, okay, have a... knifes the guy in the chest. Don't you know I was abused? Gets the gun. Goes to her stepfather's house. I mean, her mother is divorced. Staying with another, married another man now. I said, the daddy didn't he slap me? He did. Pia, pia! The man is dead. What happened? I was abused. So you have a society of, I've been abused. Anything I do is not my fault, though. It's their fault. Where are they? Those who abused me. And for that reason, people don't break bad habits, even though God makes the power available all the time. That is why I like people like Joyce Meyer. God placed her there so that if you were abused... they will measure your abuse. They will measure it to her own. You will shut up. There are very few ladies on earth that has been abused as Joyce Meyer was. And she's not shooting people. She's not sleeping around. She has a very stable marriage now. She has grandchildren. She's a minister of the gospel. The day I heard her share the testimony, I was watching her on TV. Every woman in the house was weeping. Apart from her. She's telling the story. She was just talking. She was just talking. When she finished, she just did her like this. And look at me today. You know what she was saying? There's no excuse left. The God that did this for me can do more for you. Nobody goes to Joyce Meyer's meeting and come back there and start shooting people. Well, what excuse will you give? Even if the jury says to you, not guilty, God will say to you, guilty. Where are you coming from? Joyce Meyer's meeting. I mean, her own was bad. On the key of her abusers was her father, number one. Not a stranger, not an uncle alone. The uncles were plenty. But then I still remember that she just had like this. But look at me today. That is, what are you talking about? Who has abused you? What have they done to you that more was not done to me? What I'm going to say, when people start making excuses, they make excuses for everything that they, and that is the very reason why they will never enter into the destiny that God planned for them. Well, don't forget our message. It is not about the problem. It is about the solution that God has brought. He said, if I would just acknowledge my iniquity, forget the stories of how, who gave birth to who, when, why, what happened, who sinned, that this one should be born blind. Forget all of those things. I acknowledge that no matter where it began from, this is my problem. My father who started it is dead. His grandfather who started it before his own father is dead. They've all left the problem with me, which means it is now my problem. So I have to solve it. I'm not pointing at anybody. I bring it is mine. And I bring it to the Lord and say to him simply, this is my problem. This is my bad habit. This is the reason why I will not enter into destiny. This is the thing that will obstruct me, all right, from becoming the man, the woman that God created me to be. Lord, help me with it. He said, if you acknowledge like that, then we solve the problem. It is not, look, thank God for therapy, thankful for training. God actually changes people from inside. And the beautiful thing about as Christians, we have been changed. All those prayers are just to allow the thing inside us, you understand my point, to rise up and manifest. That's all. That's what I mean by prayer and personal purification. These are the things we do with problems. So. That's it. That's what we do with prayer. I wanted to say, sorry. These are the things we do with prayer. Not attacking everybody and every other issue around. If we're going to attract any other issue in life, it must be a matter of intercession. We talked about that the other day. The matter of how to intercede. We say it's warfare. So we look at our nation, we keep on fighting. When we want to get discouraged, like we're talking about again today, we turn the discouragement to a prayer point. I mean, you can imagine what I'm saying. Maybe you have prayed and prophesied. I was listening to one message I preached here a few days ago. We prophesied heavily about PHCN. Had they with double capacity in 24 months and everything. Like I said, they heard the prayer. So they shut down one third of the current process power generation capacity. Light went off in my house. For this, bomb petrol all the time. That's the thing. I said, Light, you won't discourage me. In fact, if you annoy me for that, I will supercharge the prophecy. She was doubling, I said before. We will increase it to triple. If you shut the whole thing down, we say, okay, now we are going to increase it tenfold. Because it's war. It's war. We're not trying to make sense. We're trying to command things to be. It's war. So sometimes I don't want to be discouraged. We take that discouragement as a matter of prayer. I say, no, Lord, look at discouragement. No. In the name of Jesus, I cast off discouragement. Now, that's what you need to wake up at night to pray about. As for the witches flying, I've told you, there's no space up there. And then I say people will laugh. I actually mean it too. There's no space. No, wait, come. Do you know how many planes go over your head? Anyone you see is a local flight. I hope you know that. Any plane you see, like this, it's a local flight. The real, those ones that are flying at 20,000 feet, 80,000 feet, you really can't see, you don't see them really. They are very, very, you don't hear the others, you hear, they are the ones landing and taking off. But does it concern you? I don't know where I get my point. All those many international flights zoom past Enugu daily. You don't know. You're not the only one you hear knocking around. They are the ones landing here. Come on, let's see. The witches that are flying up and down, how's your problem? They are leaving one destruction zone to their judgment zone. How's your problem? Fly. Just like an international flight. In fact, it's there. As a bird that flies without landing, so it's a curse that has no curse. Waiting cause my problem with the witch that's flying. They can't land. And the one that wants to land near my house, will I pray about it? Not really. I just know he has a death wish. He won't die. If he lets us know on time, we may organize burial. I'm not going to pray. No witch is landing here. Land first. Abba, or land. 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 Then you will never take off again. What am I trying to explain? Let's not get bothered. You know, that's what occupies people these days. So let's not get preoccupied with things that don't affect our destiny. If you stay up awake, binding witches, binding demons, listen, let me tell you a few facts. You won't get healed. You won't become richer. You won't live longer. You won't see clearer. Nothing's going to be better for you, even if you like succeed in binding all the witches and all the demons. You know why? They were never your problem. I assume Nigeria now says now, oh no, I now decide that no international flight is crossing above Enugu. And I assume I have the power. How has that made me richer? Has it affected my ministry? But we're discussing things that determine whether you go far in life or you won't. We're discussing things that will determine whether the will of God concerning your life will be done, it won't be done, or it won't be done. Listen, I said it before, no matter how much you believe and confess, if something is wrong, the only thing God can do for you is to correct it. Listen, somebody who's always fearful, are you getting my point? Worried, can't live long, no matter how much God loves the person. So if God loves that fellow so much and he wants very little, he will send you plenty of correction concerning fear and worry. And listen, unless you learn it, you will still die. Despite the fact that God doesn't want you to die. The other day, one of my colleagues was in the office, he came to report another one to me. He said, look at what this guy is saying. I said, his problem is that he's afraid. He's paranoid. I said, you can't live long on this earth like that. It's not possible. Something will just happen, you just die. So if God doesn't want that to happen to you, what he does is to send you a word. And this is the thing. Let me just say this and I close. All right? When the word comes, listen to this. When the word of God comes, usually it's a word of correction. Listen to this. You know, I told you before, God does not judge people for mistakes. You know that. He's not angry. So, go and kill the Amalekites. You get there, you don't kill them, you spare some of them alive. God does not kill for that. You know what he kills for? Samuel now comes and says, Saul, why have you not done what the Lord said you should do? Say, Samuel, I have done everything the Lord said I should do. Say, Samuel, hey, Saul, it is me talking to me, Samuel. He said, prophet, you said the Lord your God told you to tell me to go and do this. And I have done everything. He said, what about the man that's going on in the backyard? He said, that one, have what's a few goats amongst friends? The man brought it to sacrifice to the Lord your God. Ha. Someone was confused. That wait. You agree there are goats? Yes. What are they doing here? Look, goats are always a good sacrifice, but the Lord said, kill everything. Ah, Samuel. A few goats doesn't mean you didn't obey God. Then Samuel now turned and said, because you have rejected the word of God. Listen, it wasn't the first word. It was the second word. The word of correction. That's what I'm telling you. I say it all the time. In life, you've made mistakes, so? Everybody makes mistakes. The one that everybody does not do, that God doesn't accept, is that when you have done it wrong, and we have now said to you that it is wrong, you now sit there and start explaining why, even though it is wrong, there's nothing wrong with it. That is the one that brings down judgment. That is the one that brings down judgment. So as to prevent that judgment, listen to this. A lot of times the word of God comes because of the momentum of life. You know what I call momentum of life? I mean, you are going in one direction. You have spent money. You have spent willpower. You have spent goodwill. People around you are pushing you. They are going on with you. God now says, turn. It's not easy. What did I say? It's not easy. Let's leave it there. It's not easy. And let me ask you, do you think God knows it's not easy? Do you think he's aware that it's not easy? Now let me ask you a question. Do you think God wants you to do that which you can't do? With your own strength? No. So anytime, I said at the beginning, it's a very good way to close it. Anytime God sends a word like that, that means he's already packaged his strength to obey it, even though it's not easy. And I can assure you of one thing. This is a real thing. I've had experiences like that. You know what works? In fact, I think it's a very nice way to summarize this message. You know what works? Take that word. Go and kneel down and say to the Lord. No, he said, take heed to yourselves. Do that praying. Pray like this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from doing evil. God does not, let me say to you, expect that by your strength you will obey that. No, he knows his heart. He's very aware. What he's just saying is this. What are you going to do with the word? And that's why the word comes. The word is the way by which you tap grace into your life. It's like, this is what prayer does. I said, Christians, this is how you pray all the time. You now get on your knees. Let's get back to that simple story at the beginning. The woman with all her enlightenment. You are the most difficult. Now, women, I'm saying this for two reasons. So, let me just say this. One, for men and for women who are involved to learn it. The most difficult women. Now, I don't mean it as brothers. When you see, come, are you like that? Are they wrong? No. What I mean is that you have to show compassion. You have to pray. And if you're a woman like that, you also have to pray for yourself. The most difficult wives, apart from those who are genetically difficult, are you getting my point? Are the women who have had to make many decisions by themselves in their lives. They are successful business people. They've done well. They have done well without you. What the hell is your problem? I don't know what I'm going to say. When you marry all these small, small girls who are just leaving university, they don't know anything. They will listen to you. They never had to work. You know, I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You never had to take care of your younger ones. And you see a woman that has taken care of 5 younger ones and all of them are in university now. You now marry her. You yourself have to pray. Not for yourself. You have to love somebody now. This is your life. Won't you love somebody? You have to show patience and kindness. It's not a bad thing, you must understand. It's not a bad thing. It's just what? Out of experience. I once sister the other day, my wife was talking about, she was testifying that, she had to tell God, say, wait. This husband deal, thank you very much for that, I appreciate it, but what's going on here? I'm used to making budgetary allocations and spending it the way I saw fit. Then one Adam now comes and says, that's not wise. It has been wise for the last 20 years. What's your problem? You see what I'm saying? It's not that, like, they are evil people. You know, that when you are used to being in charge, it is real dying to self to let Bobo be in charge. But believe me, it's still worth it. What did I say? This thing is a matter, it's a spiritual wisdom. That guy is anointed. That husband is an anointing. Now, what I'm trying to say, so when I get to that position, and I'm going, I don't go and say, no, I won't agree, it doesn't make sense. That is one side. No, leave that one. Once we see that the flesh says, I won't agree, it doesn't make sense. But the commandment says, submit thyself unto thy husband. Remember that one I was saying? Momentum. Everybody is saying that, now you go be governor. They have spent money. You are talking money. 200 million naira has gone down into promoting your gubernatorial election. 200 million has gone down into making you governor. And one day, through one fantastic word, God speaks to you. Say, that gubernatorial position is not yours. I don't even want you to campaign any further. You are going to go for the next PDP election, what caucus meeting, and suddenly walk out. Nobody is putting you under pressure. Do you think it's easy? Men have spent 200 million naira. That's what I mean by the momentum, pressure. But again, let me get back to what I'm saying. What God is saying, just take my word. Don't try and obey my word. Just make sure you believe it. Make sure you say, this is the word of God. Then take that word in prayer. Kneel over that word. Say, thy will be done. Not as I will, but as you will. Lord, the strength to do it in the name of Jesus. It has to be done, but you know I can't do it. I don't have the strength in myself. I mean, you know how smart I have been. I have held a business that's worth 100 million before marrying this guy. You say, I should submit to him. That is the word of God. I believe it. But what do I do now? Because my flesh doesn't say, no, thy will be done. Go and see, that's how Jesus did it in the garden. He knelt down there until doing it was natural. He knelt down there and continued to say that thy will be done. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He kept on saying that, you know, there are many ways by which God does things. One day you can just come out. And suddenly somebody in the PDP meeting just said, like, look, what local government is it from again? So they will remember. But that is not in keeping with rotation. Zoning. Say, thank you. Someone said, but I say, okay, look, please, you just put up your hand. I do not want there to be any animosity in the house. I voluntarily stepped down. Then they understand that guy is a humble and honorable man. They don't know that God said to you ahead of time, step down. Are you getting my point? Suddenly you come out. Next time your husband talks, wisdom is dropping from his mouth like this, dripping on the floor. It's God that changed your perception. And God gave him wisdom to speak. Why? Because you took that word and used that word to pray. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. Yes, that's what I mean by prayer and personal purification. We don't spend our prayer energy wasting it on people who don't like us. All my enemies that said I will not succeed, they too will not succeed. Eh? So two people don't succeed. What is it? Everybody's failing. That's what they call Polish capitalism. You know, have you heard of Polish capitalism? Yes. My adversary has 100 heads of cattle. I have 50. God, kill 50 of his own. No. We don't have to have all of that. Our own is that, God, give me wisdom. The righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. That's our own prayer. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Please, I hope you learned something today. I hope you learned something today. Don't forget, the word, the prayer, God gave it to you to tap into grace to obey him, even though there's a temptation to be discouraged. Life can be discouraging. They can want to push you into sin. They can want to push you into complacency. You just don't care anymore. You two just want a job, get a regular salary, and you are fine. Well, you know inside you, God says, no, that's not good enough. You are going to build enterprises. I've tried two or three times before. Then I say, try again. They now give you money. Say, if I lose this one, they will now know, say, truly, I'm a good for nothing. Before you invest it, you go home, kneel over it, kneel over the money, kneel over the ideas, and pray. The most important thing you are praying about is to wipe out the doubt and wipe out the fear. Listen, I know that faith comes by hearing, but understanding comes by prayer. You hear what I said?
Yes,
if God doesn't open your eyes, you can hear and hear and hear and hear, and nothing will enter. So even before the word comes, you pray, God, in the word that is coming, give me understanding, and I shall live. I hope you've gotten my point.
Yes,
just say, Father, thank you for that word, which is your word, which is liberating me. Thank you, Lord, for that word. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. Let's rise to our feet, please. Let's just declare, say, in the name of Jesus. Goodness is my portion.
Mercy is my portion.
Righteousness is my portion. Say, I live. Now, when I say live, I mean I'm the power of God is manifested in my life. All right? So say, I live. I'm not under the power of death. Therefore, I speak against sickness.
You are gone.
Out of my body.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Say, I speak against fear.
I don't have the spirit of fear.
I speak concerning boldness.
That the spirit of boldness is my portion.
I speak concerning victory.
I speak
that victory is my portion.
Victory is my portion.
Say it, in Christ Jesus I'm above only.
And I'm not beneath.
In Christ Jesus,
I'm above only.
And I'm not beneath.
Say, all things have passed away.
Curses have passed away.
Curses have passed away.
Sin has passed away.
Righteousness is my portion now.
Blessing, that's my portion now.
Say, in Christ Jesus,
I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings.
Therefore, prosperity is my portion.
Say, long life is my portion.
Say, long life is my portion.
Say, I will live.
I will not die.
I will live.
I will not die.
I will live.
I will not die.
Say, no weapon that is fashioned against me will prosper.
Any arrow shot in my direction will break.
Any gun aimed at me will never fire.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Because my life
is hid
with Christ
in God.
My life
is hid
with Christ
in God.
My life
is hid
with Christ
in God.
Say, I'm above alone.
I am not beneath.
I am above alone.
I am not beneath.
I am surrounded by the hedge of God.
I am surrounded by the edge of God.
No evil shall befall me.
And no plague will come near my dwelling place.
I feel like saying, say, in Christ Jesus, I am free.
I am free from sin.
I am free from all works of the devil.
I am free from sicknesses.
I am free from bondage.
I am free from fear.
My tomorrow is secure.
My tomorrow is secure.
God has secured my tomorrow.
I am not afraid of tomorrow.
I am not afraid of tomorrow.
No matter how bleak it may be for some people,
yet mine shall be bright.
Yet mine shall be bright.
Because my life
is hid
with Christ
in God.
Just wave your hands and just give him thanks.
Father, we give you thanks.
We give you thanks.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Goodness will follow you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Mercy will not depart from you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
As you go out, you will be safe.
Amen.
As you return, you will be safe.
Amen.
This land will prosper because of you.
Amen.
Because you are the salt of the earth.
Amen.
Go forth and shine in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.